Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand, a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Virginia's Joint Commission to oversee the transition of the Commonwealth into a cannabis retail market met Tuesday for the first time since Governor Abigail Spanberger vetoed a bill that would have created a legal marijuana market. And while emotions were high after the veto, lawmakers were hopeful a compromise could turn up in the state's budget. Brad Kuttner has this story.
There is a pathway to adopt a form of compromise.
Yeah, middle ground there, I think we could do.
That's Senator LaCharisse Aird and Delegate Paul Krizek. Both Democrats, they led the effort to create a new legal marijuana market in the Commonwealth, but Governor Spanberger came back with amendments, including increased criminal penalties and a later start date that they did not agree with. But at Tuesday's meeting, both lawmakers appeared open to compromises, if the governor was as well.
There is so much fear and hopelessness from both the public as well as business owners that Virginia will continue to keep them in limbo, and we don't, and under any circumstance, plan to stop fighting for moving this forward.
Wesley McQuillan is with Altered Strategies, a Nevada-based operation that helps companies across the country navigate legal weed market regulations. He said states rarely get weed markets right the first time. Nevada was too regulated at the start, harming business efforts, while Oregon was too loose, with too many weed stores opening, cannibalizing the market. He said Spanberger's push to give more power to the state cannabis authority to regulate is good.
It leaves it easier to make changes on the fly.
But after 5 years, he said something needs to change from the state's existing gray weed market.
24 states worth of regulatory models to learn from over all this time. I mean, at some point, the delay stops being caution and it just is starting to look like policy failure.
Lawmakers return to Richmond to finalize the budget, with or without a legal weed market included, later this month. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
The death of a loved one is never easy. And when that loved one is incarcerated, there can be even more questions.
And so when a medical examiner provides the cause and manner of death, that can provide some certainty.
A recent state law requires autopsies for in-custody deaths, but are they happening? Dave Cantor's story is up in a little while. At Tuesday's Virginia Tech Board of Visitors meeting, members elected a new rector to replace John Rockovich. Board member Jim Miller, who was appointed by Governor Glenn Youngkin in 2024, will now lead the board. Governor Abigail Spanberger removed Rockovich last week, citing unspecified violations in the State Code of Conduct and University Code of Ethics. Rockovich has denied the allegations and said he's always acted in the best interest of the university. During Tuesday's meeting, President Timothy Sands spoke to what he called changes in leadership.
After a period of, I think, highly unusual stability, we're entering a period of rapid change in positions of leadership, both on the board and in the administration. Change creates uncertainty and concern for the future, and that's certainly understandable. But what we have built together is not dependent on any one individual or even a few individuals.
Sands announced earlier this year he would step down when a new university president has been hired. New board appointees made by Governor Spanberger are joining existing members on the hiring committee. This note of disclosure, Radio IQ, is a service of Virginia Tech. As the country prepares to mark the 82nd anniversary of D-Day, two World War II veterans were honored in Roanoke Tuesday. David Seidel was there.
George Hubbard and James Flincham, both now 100-plus, were honored for their service in World War II by the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Roanoke Police Department.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
That quiet thank you didn't surprise Assistant U.S. Attorney Robert Tracy.
Like so many men and women of America's greatest generation, the measure of Mr. Flincham's and Mr. Hubbard's sacrifice is exceeded only by the depth of their humility.
George Hubbard grew up in Franklin County and enlisted in the Navy at age 17. He crewed a landing craft that delivered soldiers onto Utah Beach during the Allied invasion in 1944. James Flincham was raised in Floyd County and as a member of the Army Air Corps helped rescue pilots from crashed fighter planes. General Rusty McGuire with the Virginia National Guard noted that the success of the invasion was a team effort.
They did not do it without the air power from Mr. Flincham. They did not get there without the sea power, and that's Mr. Hubbard.
The 82nd anniversary of the D-Day landings is this Saturday. In Roanoke, I'm David Seidel.
Funeral services are planned for a Carroll County Sheriff's deputy shot and killed in the line of duty last week. Services for Logan Utt will be Friday at 2 p.m. at Temple Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. The 31-year-old Utt was born in Surry County, North Carolina, and served as a Carroll County deputy since 2023. He also served in the Air Force and was a volunteer fireman. He died last Friday when conducting a welfare check. The suspect is facing an aggravated murder charge. Developers of a proposed 115-mile electric transmission line have released a new set of potential routes that they say would limit the number of homes nearby. The Virginia Mercury reports Valley Link Transmission is hoping to build the line from just outside the Lynchburg area to Culpeper County. Officials with PJM, the regional electric grid operator, have identified the project as necessary to maintain grid reliability. Nearby residents have voiced opposition to the project over potential environmental and historical site preservation concerns. Valley Link says the new routes reduce the number of residences within 500 feet of the line to 75. They also have considered areas like Civil War battlefields and wetlands. Some parts of Virginia are seeing a housing boom while other areas are seeing a decline. Michael Pope has this story.
New Kent County in Tidewater, Virginia is experiencing a housing boom. Census numbers posted to the Virginia Public Access Project show that since 2020, housing in New Kent County has grown by more than 20%. Mel Jones is executive director of the Virginia Center for Housing Research at Virginia Tech, and she says it's important to consider scale.
If you only have, 500 homes in a community, and then you add 100, right? That's a huge percentage growth. It's 20%. And so sometimes you'll see these great fluctuations in rural places because only a few homes make a big percentage change. So it's important to look at both the numbers and the percentage.
On the other end of the spectrum are places that are actually losing housing, places like Henry and Tazewell counties in the western part of the state. Terry Clower at George Mason University says negative housing growth can be a positive trend.
In areas where you have population decline, sooner or later, you want to actually see a negative growth in the housing stock because that just means that you have fewer vacant and increasingly derelict properties sitting around.
He says Loudoun County in Northern Virginia was experiencing a housing boom until the local government stepped in and imposed impact fees to limit the pace of development. Michael Pope.
Since a 2024 law went into effect requiring an autopsy after any in-custody death at a state prison facility, Virginia's medical examiner has failed to complete the procedure almost half of the time. Dave Cantor has this report.
During the requirement's first year, the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner completed autopsies after in-custody deaths about 44% of the time. That's according to data from the State Health Department and information obtained through a records request from the Department of Criminal Justice Services. The following year, preliminary information shows that number rose to 57%. Dee Pulani Lucas recently partnered with Virginia Commonwealth University's Wilder School to launch Uncounted, an online effort to better record in-custody deaths across the country. She said the state's numbers are troubling.
It's important that we not forget that a variety of things lead people to being incarcerated. My belief is that those who are in custody still deserve to be protected. They are not there to be abused, neglected, forgotten, ignored.
During the past decade, the Commonwealth recorded just over 1,000 in-custody deaths at Virginia Department of Corrections facilities. A total of 556 autopsies were completed in that time, according to the state agencies. In that time period, the medical examiner hit its highest rate for the procedure in 2022, with about 83% of in-custody deaths being followed by an autopsy. That was 2 years before the requirement to conduct the procedure was on the books. Andrea Armstrong is a Loyola University New Orleans law professor whose work focuses on deaths in U.S. prisons and jails. She said autopsies can be helpful to families, researchers, and state agencies when there are, quote, unclear circumstances around a person's death.
Families might hear various versions of what happened during the last minutes of their loved one's life, right? And so when a medical examiner provides the cause and manner of death, that can provide some certainty. The intent behind requiring these is to also provide a sense of objectivity. Some families don't necessarily trust the preliminary conclusions of the prison or jail administration, in part because they're not trained medical professionals.
The Virginia Department of Health didn't make Dr. William Gormley, the state's chief medical examiner, available for an interview. In an emailed statement, a spokesperson wrote that OCME is working to comply with the law and added that a fiscal impact statement estimated a need for up to $287,000 in additional funding. During the calendar years 24 and 25, they wrote, 63% of in-custody deaths were followed by an autopsy, though the procedure wasn't performed on people who died of a, quote, natural disease at a hospital or healthcare facility outside VDOC. State code doesn't make that distinction. Armstrong said the language in Virginia's law mandating autopsies seems pretty clear, while noting an increase in the number of autopsies from 2024 to 2025.
In terms of public health, people are dying, and we don't look at each additional death as, you know, an increase in workload and an unfunded mandate. Instead, the point of collecting this information is to identify which deaths would have been preventable.
Kelly Oriens is a George Washington University law professor and suggested a variety of approaches to remedy the situation. She said the governor's office could step in, state lawmakers could add enforcement mechanisms to state code, or the Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission could decide to conduct research on the issue and make recommendations. But until one of those avenues is pursued and fully realized, Lucas's Uncounted project is working to fill in some of the gaps.
Identifying the unjust is an act of justice. Whether it is someone who is being erased from the database completely, or whether someone's not having an autopsy done, or whether aspects of the cause of death is being hidden, it is dehumanizing.
On June 8th, Gormley, the medical examiner, will attend a ribbon-cutting ceremony in Hanover County, marking the completion of the state's new $180 million central laboratory, where his office will be located. I'm Dave Cantor.
The forecast shows we're gradually warming up over the rest of the work week, sunny today, and a little breezy, highs in the mid-70s and lower 80s. Tonight, mostly clear skies and lows bottom out in the upper 40s to mid-50s. More sunshine Thursday, warmer, highs in the upper 70s to around 88 in areas east of the Blue Ridge, around 86 for Roanoke. More of the same Friday, warmer still, highs in the low 80s to 94 for the Danville area. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand. And a little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bossert.